Oh, good morning, Redemption Church. So good to be with you guys this morning. Now, last week, you saw the video. That was very, very cool. One of the things that's important to us as a church is that we really are invested into our city, our community, our region in a lot of ways, because we really believe that when it comes to the worship of Jesus, it also means the following of Jesus, which is the imitating of Jesus, which is trying to really, again, show the love of Jesus to the world that we live in. And so, went up to Bridge Receiving, had a great time. Great group of people showed up too. Tons of work. They busted it out really fast. But if you didn't have a chance to do that serving day, there's going to be another opportunity coming up at the end of August. And so right now, put in your calendar or whatever else. August 24th, that'll be a Saturday. It'll be from 8 to noon, so that's the four-hour block, and it's actually this whole idea of Valley Serve, and so it's about serving the Riverview School District. This happened last year as well, where groups of people went all over the different schools here in the district and just cleaned up the campuses. They weeded and did bark and cleaned up the inside, everything else, so it's a great opportunity to serve, so we're going to be pushing that again here in the next few weeks, so you can make sure you kind of isolate that in your calendar and everything else, because it's going to be a great time. And honestly, it's also a great time to just rub shoulders with people in the community that you may not get to know. And then from that, you're also representing Jesus in the midst of that. So it's going to be great. Hopefully you sign up for that because it's coming up soon. And we're going to have some information out there on social media and on our emails and everything else, because there's actually a sign-up thing, because you get like a t-shirt and some other things, because again, that's just the way that we get to serve the community. So that's the first thing. The second thing, though, is about kind of what we're doing today. So through the entire month of July, we have been celebrating what is basically the holidays of Sundays, right? Which I didn't expect that to happen. It was like, what am I going to do for July? Because I honestly thought we were going to be in the building by now. And so now I'm just trying to figure out stuff to do until we're actually getting to that point, right? So I'm like, this would be kind of fun to do the holidays of that month. And so the very first one was, let's see, go back to my notes, I've already forgotten. Oh, it was World Forgiveness Day, right? And that's a good reminder to us, like, man, that's what we're to be about, right? Like, if there's anything that's unique about the Christian faith, aside from grace, it's this idea of radical forgiveness. And so we kind of just went through, what does it mean to be forgiving and to seek forgiveness? And kind of a great topic. Then we went into the next week, the 14th, and that was all about the tale of the tape. Tape measure day was that holiday, and we just looked at how the Bible is a way that we measure our lives, and there's many things in the Bible to look at how we can measure our lives against God's qualities and standards and heart for us, and so that was a great one. Then we did the third Sunday, that was the serving day, that was National Ice Cream Day. We had ice cream up there, which was great. Can I tell you, here's a weird one, though. My grandson, he's 2 years old, doesn't like ice cream. It seems weird. Like, you've taken me like, hey, you want some ice cream? He'll literally be like, no, not at all. Like, just, he's out, man. So give him chicken nuggets all day long. Ice cream, no, he's not into that, right? But then there's today, the national holiday of fill in the blank. And what I found is there's a ton of things that are celebrated today. So it is National Milk Chocolate Day. So I guess afterwards you could rush out, get some Hershey Kisses or something like that. That's kind of there. It's also Buffalo Soldier Day. I didn't know about this, but this was the first all-black army regiment in peacetime. And so that's celebrated today. And so that's a bit of a holiday. It's National Water Slide Day and Water Park Day. So I guess you can get out your slip and slide before the rain comes. That's going to be a good time right there. It's National Soccer Day today. Which is cool, but it's an international sport. I think it should be International Day more than National Day. I don't know what it is. But there is a topic today that I think is very good for us to look at. It's a good reminder. I've titled today, Gray Hair Greats. Gray-haired greats, because today is World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Yeah, for sure, man. And so I'm like, man, that's what we should do. Now, a little bit of the history of this. This is actually something that Pope Francis came up with just back in 2021. So it's a relatively new holiday, if you will. And kind of the spirit of it was that he was realizing that in the West, there is a little bit less than a generous view of the elderly. Like, they're kind of pushed to the side. They're forgotten. They're marginalized in a lot of ways. He's like, in the East, that's not so much a problem. In the West, it's increasingly a problem. So kind of set this day aside to just have this remembrance and commemorance of that particular age bracket in life, the seasoned saints, the seasoned citizens of our world. Super cool. But then this year, what he added into the holiday is that you can get kind of like a full credit of penance for purgatory, which I thought was funny. Like literally, he's like, if you go to the worship service and your heart felt there, engaged in it, you get like purgatory credits, I guess, to apply to somebody that you love that's in purgatory. And I'm like, all right, it's just the gift that keeps on giving right there, apparently. But we're Protestants, and so we're just doing it because you know what? The senior citizens of our world are rad, all right? They are rad. And we want to celebrate that today and be reminded of why they're so precious and valuable and healthy for our lives and everything else. And so that's kind of the target of the day. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Get us ready. Before I do, though, I want to remind you that we have an app, and in there's notes you can follow along with. Kind of just fill in the blanks, get the verses and everything else. And we're just going to, again, be reminded of this thing, not only that is true to some of the people in our world, but that we're all moving in that same direction. And hopefully these are lessons for us to all ingest and live out and really bring beauty and flourishing to the world that we inhabit. So let's go ahead and pray together. Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for your grace and generosity to us, and I thank you for the fact that as life is lived forward, there is so much to be gained in that journey. And so I pray that today we will really kind of sit up and pay attention to the beauty of aging, to the beauty of those elders that have gone before us that can kind of pour back into us, especially in a society where we tend to go, oh, they're older, what's their value? It's such an unfortunate, even awful thing that we do sometimes in the West. I pray that we will be different as your people and that we will see the beauty and the value that comes with those who are seasoned in life. And so Jesus, again, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for your grace and generosity toward us. And we pray that we are faithful to you in all that we do. It's in your good name that we pray. Amen. All right, so when I arrived in Duval, I was 37 years old. I am now 53, right? So I am now a grandparent. I have an AARP card, right? I'm moving up the chain. Right? Like I've got bad knees and I wear my Crocs with my socks because I don't care because I've reached that age bracket where it doesn't matter. And I'm even getting to that point where I'm realizing like those progressive commercials about don't become like your parents. I'm becoming like my parents, right? Like it's awesome. Like I'm like, oh yeah, I've got all this crown molding that I'll never use. I better save it, you know? And like just silly stuff like that. Or my server that comes to the table, they're like, my name is Alex. I'll be serving you this evening. And for the rest of the night, I'm calling them Alex like we're friends, you know. My kids were like, you don't even know them. I'm like, but that's Alex, they're awesome, right? Because that's what we do. And you call all the young people in your life like Champ and Sporto, and you know, like that's just what happens when you kind of push up in the age bracket. And while in our culture, I know there's a little bit of this like, oh man, to get older is a bummer, or to get older is a drag. I'm just going to tell you, I'm digging it, man. I'm digging it. Thank you for the woo over there. Because there's a lot of good that comes with getting a little bit older. Now, I get it. The body is wearing down. And I am feeling that more. Like, honestly, getting down, gravity helps. It's the getting back up. And the pain in between it all, right? That I'm like, oh, that's kind of a drag. But there's this other kind of dividend that pays off, this quotient that increases while my body is breaking down, my stamina internally, emotionally is going up. This idea of hopefully wisdom and insight and experience, that's on the rise as you kind of move forward in life. And those are the benefits. Those are the things that we should esteem and frankly just love that they're true. Now, part of the reason I was excited to do this topic today is because I do know that in American society, uniquely, it's going to be true to other places, but there's something kind of baked into the cake of the American psyche when it comes to aging that we kind of looking like, right? Part of it is just the fact that we tend to value youthfulness so much as a society that in some ways we feel the pressure of not wanting to fully be our age or act our age or look our age. And so there's all sorts of industry really kind of centered around don't be as old as you are, right? And there's a pressure there. And I get that pressure. I don't want to say that that's a silly pressure. I just get that society kind of creates the pressure of that. And that's one problem of this, right? We all just kind of fear this aging thing because we're told you lose value as you go forward for whatever reason. The other thing is just the fact that when it comes to the seniors of our life, so often in culture, there is a little bit of this like, oh, you've used up your usefulness, right? You've given to the corporation, but now you're retired. What do you have left to give now? You're just in retired space. What is there to offer? Like, there's all of these things that happen. And I think it's incredibly unfortunate. And I think it's even painful and even robs us a little bit as a society, because one of the things that's true is that the seniors of our lives are like this foundational element. And in the West, again, we've lost it. You go to the East, or you go to very communal societies, and there is this like this reverence for the seniors, right? The gray hairs are like, man, they're crowned with glory. But in the West, where we're very individualized, very kind of meritocracy oriented, there is a bit of this like, hey, if you haven't done something for me today, then you haven't done something for me lately, and so we're not fully sure. Like, we respect you, we're glad you're here, but move over. There's somebody else that could do this a little bit better. And so we get broken down into boomers and Gen X and millennials and Gen Z, and which one is this and which one is that. But before all of that was there, man, there was just societies that were communal, that were bonded together, that had a lot of things in common. And then that age segregation all brought something different to the table. And then they worked in concert as a community. And that's kind of the heart, I think, of what I want to look at today as I think about this from a biblical perspective. Because when you look at the Bible, that's exactly what it was. Right? It had this high view of communities being networked together, all these different age gradients in that system, and they all were working in concert to produce this flourishing culture and society. And so today I want to give you three reasons. Three reasons why getting older, or three reasons why the senior saints that are among us are rad and special and a blessing. And so if you're taking notes, we're going to go into the very first thing right off the bat. Number one in your notes, the reason that they are so cool and so great and so rad is because they are like a fine scotch. They bring out full-bodied wisdom. Now, I use this, and I know some of you are like, I don't drink scotch, so I don't relate. That's okay. And then some of you are like, should a pastor be using scotch as a point on Sunday at church? You saw the video. I was in a kilt last Sunday, man. I'm just being a good Scotsman using our national drink of choice. Now, how many are in the room are actually Scotch drinkers? Now we're gonna dime out the sinners. All right, so that's good. All right, so keep them up for a second. I want to see the sinners again. Okay, we see this. Everybody seeing the sinners? Judge the sinners. All right, so I have mine up too. Love me some Scotch. All right. So, to the Scotch drinkers in the room, you're going to be the teacher to everybody else that doesn't drink the poison, all right? So here's the thing. If you had a choice between having Scotch that was 4 years old or having Scotch that is 18 years old, how many of you would choose the 4-year-old Scotch? How many would choose the 18? Okay, I know you non-Scotch drinkers at least can register that part. Like, older is better. Right? And it is so true. Older is better. Ellen and I went to Scotland last year, and we hit a number of distilleries for fun. And one of the distilleries we went to was kind of brand new by distillery standards. I think they had kind of finished it about 6 years ago. And so they give you this tour, and then they come to the end. They're like, here, try our scotch here on site. It's 4 years old. You drink it. It's like gasoline. It's awful. Right? And they're like, what do you think? And we're like, that's trash water, you know? It's like, what do I say? It's terrible, right? But then we went to another distillery, Talisker, right? And we go there, and they have all this old scotch and everything else, and you try it, and it's just so different, you know? You get like that 18-year-old, 16-year-old, 14-year-old stuff, and it's super different because there's something about how it ages, right? It's in these big casks, and as it ages, it pulls out other hints and aromas and flavors, and it kind of mellows out that burny, fiery thing. It gives it a smooth finish. And when I think about that, I think about the seniors in our lives. It's like the same thing. It's like there's something about as you age, as you grow, as you develop, as you face the things of life, it has that same ability. It pulls out all these new aromas in one's life, all this new flavor, gives this sense of smoothness to something that might have been a little bit more aggressive in the early years. We were all aggressive in our early lives, and then we tend to mellow as time goes on. I think it's the same spirit. And I think much of why this is because life is not academic. Like, we go to school, we learn things, but if we're really, really honest about it, life is an apprenticeship. It's an apprenticeship where you go, you try, you fail, you succeed, you fail again, you succeed some more, you refine, you relearn, you recommit, you re-whatever, and you just continually, gradually grow. And the amazing thing about that, I would call that wisdom in the end. It's like, really, you can only generate wisdom by doing the life experience stuff. Like, if we were teaching classes on wisdom, that would be fine. But it's not the same as when you begin to try and to do. It's not the same as when you actually implement a thing and it blows up in your face, and then from blowing up in your face, you're like, I won't do that thing again. But you need that process, right? You need that journey of all of this kind of discovery and tampering and messing with and everything else. And that's the only way it works. And so this is why I love the fact that true wisdom is not something that you can just read a book and gain. It's something that you must, again, just go out and apply and try and do and face all of the consequences and then kind of wash, rinse, and repeat. That's what happens with age. In fact, I love this scene in the life of Job. Right, so Job, fun fact, probably the oldest piece of literature in the entire library that is the Bible. It's the oldest story, right? Realistically, predates a lot of other stuff too. And so it's very, very old. And we know the story of Job. His life melts down, right? Just in shambles. And so he has these counselors that come into his life, and they tend to be a little younger than him, and they're all trying to figure out, what did you do wrong? Where did you blow it? Where did you fail? Everything else. And they're not the best group of counselors in the world because they're sort of like lacking in tact. They're not terribly sentimental to his problem. They're almost kind of just like harsh, like, we know everything because we're young and you're old and you're dumb and you don't. Like, that's kind of them. But Job sort of gets fed up finally. And he says in Job chapter 12, you people really know everything, don't you? Right? You young people that have all the answers. He says, well, when you die, wisdom will die with you, which is a pretty good insult right there. He says, but you know what? I know a few things as well. And he says it in verse 12. Wisdom belongs to the aged and understanding to the old. He says, that's what I know. You're young. You think you have all the answers. You know exactly what my problems are, what the solution should be. Yeah, you guys can assess and judge everything, but here's what I really know. It really takes life learning. It takes mileage. That's why we should love the seniors of our life, man. They've earned that place, and they've earned that working information for the stuff that matters in the nooks and crannies of life that can be so problematic. They get stuff that, frankly, we just won't as long as we are still in our youthful physical prime, but maybe not in our wisdom prime. Now, I want to be clear with this. You can be young and be wise. You absolutely can. In fact, even in the story of Job, the only counselor that's really like the good counselor is the youngest counselor in the story. It's a fourth dude that shows up. But the proof of him being young and wise is he waits to say anything till the end. So he kind of holds his words. So you can be young and wise. On the flip, there's also this truth that you can be older and foolish. Like David, he got more foolish the older he got. Solomon grew in folly as he continued to advance in age. And so there's got to be this thing in the process too that says, as I grow, I want to take the wise track. I want to be reflective so I gain wisdom as I'm tracking through the stuff of life, right? Because a life well lived will afford us this idea of perspective, right? Perspective so that we can make good assessment. That's wisdom, right? Insight, encouragement, patience, nuance for life. If anything, I think what is happening with every year of our existence is we're just adding to our resume, right? Like some universities now offer life experiences as part of your credit earning capacity. And it's similar to that. There's just like things where you're like, man, the more I go and the more I try to lean into learning and adapting and growing, man, the more I'm going to gain on this kind of on-the-job training mechanism that is our life. This maybe leads to the second thing about seasoned citizens and why they're so rad and how we can learn from them. And that is that they are the ways for the road trip of life. Now, some of you may not be familiar with Waze, but Waze is like a GPS app on your phone that's actually rad, all right? So it has all these added other features, and it's great because it not only gives you direction, but it also warns you when there's something down the road. It gives you insight on, hey, you could take a different path. There may be an obstacle. Be aware. There's a cop ahead. It tells you there's a cop ahead. Like, that's amazing. Then it tells you, I better slow down. There's a cop ahead. And I get to be back up and be a sinner in speed. All right. So it gives you all that stuff, right? It's almost like having your grandma in the passenger seat. Slow down. Watch out. That's a cop. Are you speeding? It's the same thing. Right? And so I love this because in the same way, the seniors of our life, they bring that to the table. They're like ways for the journey. They'd be like, have you thought about this? Are you watching out for this? Hey, there's an obstacle coming ahead. You know, be careful over here. Are you speeding? Are you rushing too fast in life? Do you need to slow down? Maybe make a different decision, right? And what I love about this is, again, the fact that what they really have at their disposal is been there, done that, have the bumper sticker, keychain, coffee mug, all of it, right? That's what they have. And that's so perfect because there's things in my own life still I have not experienced for the first time as I'm aging. I've never had a major surgery. Never. But the day's going to come where I'm going to probably have to have a major surgery. And I'm glad I can talk to somebody that's been there, done that. Right? I didn't have grandkids until recently, but there was people that had, and I could talk to them like, hey, what should I expect? What am I going to learn? What is this all about? How do I navigate these things? See, that's the been there, done that that they offer. They offer perspective and guidance and a sense of direction for life. That experience really pays off. I think about this in Deuteronomy 32. It starts off, he says, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How gracious and glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he, man? He's like, man, we're all in on this God. And so this is who God is in the moment, in the scene right here, right? Super glorious. Only problem is the people who are also in the scene at the same moment, and they have acted corruptly. They're dumb. They've acted corruptly toward him. And when they act perverse, man, it's like, are these really his kids? Because they do just such terrible stuff. He says, they are a deceitful and a twisted generation. This is the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people. And so they're on the road from Egypt to their ancestral home. And instead of being godly and wise and obedient and all that stuff, they're being foolish and ridiculous and dumb. And so they're lost spiritually because they're corrupt morally. It's all this problem. And yet, what is the encouragement? It says, remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations that have come before you in his past. Ask your father and he will inform you. Inquire of your elders and they will tell you. Every generation thinks it's smarter than the previous one. That's one of the handicaps of that whole thing. Like, oh, we know better than everybody that came before us. C.S. Lewis called this chronological snobbery, right? And he's right. And that's kind of what's happening here. We know better than the previous generations, and that's where Moses is like, man, you better go back and talk to the previous generations because they know stuff you don't know. You're blinded by your folly, and they may open your eyes to some things. You need to seek wisdom from the previous generation so that you can be a wise current generation. This is why I'm a big fan of, for every one of us, have those people in your life that are like at these different stages ahead of you that can act as a coach in your life. Find somebody that's 10 years ahead of you and maybe 20 years ahead of you and 30 years ahead of you. Like, find these different kind of graduated age brackets just to go like, man, can you give me some tips? If you could go back and tell 20-year-old you how to do life differently, would you tell me what you would tell you? Because I would love to learn from that. That has tremendous value. It just has this built-in insight and wisdom. Now, I know for some, they'll say, you know what, Matt? Totally agree. Absolutely. I see the value. But they are so old. Like, yes, on paper, love it. In a novel, I would really like that character. But they're so out of touch. They're so old. Here's the thing I want to say. You know what? I'm ready to agree with you. I want to acknowledge that the seasoned saints of our life, they are antiques. They're antiques. Antique roadshow, man. Like, antiques. You know what's cool about antiques? They go up in value as they age, right? Ooh, that was a twist. You thought Matt's getting in trouble for that one, and then he had that increase in value and saved his job. All right, so yeah, that's. But it's true, man. That's what I love about Antique Roadshow. They drag something in, and it's like the paint's all chipped, and it's fading, and everything else. And I'm like, I'm thinking about sanding this down and painting it. They're like, yeah, if you want to lose like $50,000 instantly, that thing's awesome like that. And it's the same thing in this whole thing with the seasoned saints of our life. Yes, they might be antique in one way, but man, the value that's in there, so huge. There are this repository of time-tested trial and success, or time-tested trial and failure, and then what they learn from it so that we don't make the same mistake. All of that's in there. In fact, I love this in Proverbs chapter 20. It says, the glory of the young is their strength, but the gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. And then adds this idea of physical punishment cleanses away evil, and such discipline purifies the heart. Now, those may seem like almost completely like two separate things, but I actually think that they are there together for a reason. They have an interconnectivity about them. The first part, though, is probably captured well by this Nigerian like proverb, which is, I'm going to read it here so I don't mess it up. Strategy is better than strength. Right? So kind of the splendor of the old versus the strength of the young is this idea that when you're young, yeah, you've got stamina, you've got might, and you can work hard, harder even. But as you're older, you have this insight, you have perspective, you have experience, and so you can work smarter. And that's the thing we want to realize. Yeah, youthfulness, all kinds of stuff, right? But sometimes we even say like youth is wasted on the young because they don't have all the other tools in there. Where the gray-haired one, they have all that added bonus. And I see this when I go down to the gym. Like, it's really wild. So, like, from about 9 in the morning to 11 in the morning, it's the geriatric gym, all right? That's what's happening there. Those people are epic, dude. Like, honestly, amazing. Like, I watch them work out, and they are so strong and so focused, and they have, like, just good movement, good regimen. They're wise about what they're doing. They're maximizing everything. Nothing is wasted. It's really a sight to see. But then you go from about 4 in the afternoon to 6 in the afternoon, and that's bro gym. That's bro gym time, right? And it's all the young people, and they're strong, and they're crazy, right? They're wild. They're throwing weight around. They're doing ridiculous stuff where we as trainers were just nervous the whole time. It's like having a whole pool of kids that have never swam before, and you're the only lifeguard. It feels like that sometimes. And you're just seeing them like, bro, do it. Oh, you can't do that, bro. Sorry. Like, it's like that, right? And so I can't help it. I look at that, and I go, yep, there it is right there. Young, strong, working hard, working dangerous. Older, wise, sensible, and just maximizing every little bit, right? So good that way. I experienced this more practically in my 30s when I would work alongside my father-in-law, right? So Floyd is no longer with us. If I start to get misty, I didn't even anticipate it. But it was so interesting, right? So, you know, I'm kind of going through my 30s, and I'm learning how to do more and more projects. That's sort of how it happens, right? Part of it is just because you're like, oh, I could do that, right? So starting to learn to do projects, and so we'd start working on cars together and stuff like that, and there would be some problem, and I'm like jamming on it and hitting on it and sweating and grunting and grinding and trying to break loose a bolt or whatever else, and he just watches me for a little while. Like, he'll putter out, you know? And so finally, he'd go, hold on a second. He'll walk over, and he'd go get some big, long bar, and he'd just, like, try to use that, you know? And he'd be like, look, oh, well, go figure, right? Like, I would have spent another 45 minutes with this teeny little ratchet trying to break something loose. And he's like, or try to pry it with a big bar of fulcrum. Forget it. You know, so, like, brilliant. Brilliant. Right? And so it was like that kind of stuff that after a while, then I get into my 40s and I'm doing it more. And now I get into my 50s. And then I go to work on a car with my son-in-law. And here he is. And I get to go, hold on a minute, dude. Right? Here's a bar. You give that a try, pal. Right? Yeah, and I always call him dude. I go, here you go, dude, because Floyd called me dude, right? So you even pick up these little traits and habits that you didn't anticipate or whatever else. And so I think that's just part of it, right? Part of it is just, man, that antique roadshow thing is worth its weight in gold because there is all these life hacks that they can pass along. It's beautiful. That's why I even would encourage anybody that's kind of moving up in the age bracket to also make time to spend time with people that are younger so you can pass that stuff along. Connect with them, interact with them, kind of get to know them so that they can get to know you and see those benefits and blessings. The other part of this passage, though, that I thought was interesting was that second part about the physical punishment brings cleansing and discipline purifies. Which if I tried to modernize that, I mean, there's a lot of ways we could look at that from kind of a ancient perspective. But if I look at it here, I think there's something about how age helps the younger understand the power of suffering. Right? Like, there's this thing, like, I think as you go through life, the longer you live, the more you're going to suffer. Aren't you glad I told you? All right? So, honestly, every year is another opportunity to suffer some more. It is. But here's the thing about that. The more you suffer and you engage in the suffering and you work through the suffering and you face the suffering and you come out the other side of suffering, you begin to realize that one of the great teachers is suffering, which is really valuable in American culture. We have this aversion to suffering. We try to stay away from it. We try to distract ourselves from it, whatever it is. And yet, when I read the Bible, I go, man, suffering is like the maximum wisdom teacher. Right? Consequence, powerful teacher. Because when we face suffering and then we learn to suffer well, now you can suffer poorly and just get bitter, or you can embrace suffering and let it help you become more sweet. Because you realize it's an opportunity for coping skills or resilience or grit or ultimately for wisdom. And that's why, again, I love talking to people that are far, much further down the road than me in hard times. Because they can give you some encouragement or some comfort along the way, right? Like, again, I think about my father-in-law and my mother-in-law both. They had the same kind of thing where Ellen and I would be going through something really, really hard. And Floyd would say, yeah, this is awful. This is really, really hard. It's really hard. And then he would say, and this too shall pass. And I remember at first, I'm like, that's dumb. It's dumb, this too shall pass. Guess what? It always passed. Right? Every time. Every time. Or he would say things when things were really just crazy. He'd say, you know what? Don't sweat the small stuff. I'm like, right, but this is big stuff. He goes, no, all stuff is small stuff. I'm like, that's dumb. I realize he's right, you know? Like, it's just good to have those voices in your life. And now it's funny, I see Ellen and I doing the same thing, saying it to our adult kids. Don't sweat the small stuff. It's all small stuff. Well, how can you say that? Have you seen what we've been through? And they're, oh yeah, I see, you're right. There's some wisdom there. That's the way it works. That's why it's so good, right? All those priceless little bits of antique wisdom. And so if I rolled all of this together, I think, and this is now my encouragement to all of us who are becoming seasoned, are seasoned, whatever else, I think what is incumbent on us is to be proof. Proof, like an example of, man, God is faithful to us, so we want to be faithful to God. That we're the example of God has been in this with us for the entire journey of life. And we've only benefited from that process. And we see the beauty and strength that comes from dwelling with God as God has dwelled with us in that journey and process. That's, in fact, even why I love that last song that Caesar put out there and we all did together, right? About how God has been faithful the entire time of our lives. He's just been faithful. And I think that's the greatest proof when somebody that's, again, advanced in this journey of life can say, you know what, God has always been faithful. He's always been there. People talk about wanting all of these proofs of God, right? So it's epistemological proof or cosmological proof or what you pick your proof, right? Philosophical. I think the greatest proof is somebody that just lives faithful to God because God has been faithful to them. And others can look and go, man, you went the distance. You crossed the finish line well. In fact, I close with our reading of the day. He says, listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all who remain in Israel. This is God speaking. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. and I will be your God throughout your whole lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you, and I will carry you along and save you." So that's so good, because that's what every senior should be saying to every junior in our lives. He is good, he's there, he's kind, he's cared for you, he's carried you, he will complete you. We need to be that place of conviction. We need to be that place of certainty. We need to be that place of wisdom. Let's go ahead and pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you are faithful. And I pray that we will be faithful too. I pray that we will be faithful as the senior saints, that we are faithful pointing to you as we point back to previous, or to the generations that are coming up behind us. And I pray for the younger generations that we will be faithful to you in seeing the value of what is brought in this life experience of your people. May we all strive for you. May we all be an example of you. May we all be worshipful toward you. Because again, you have been so good to us. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you in your good name. Amen.